This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Tomorrow we are live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Come on through, 2 to 7. We will be out there broadcasting live. Plus we got a plethora of prizes to give away tomorrow. And if you want to go check out the Shaky Knees Music Festival from May 4th through the 6th, we're giving those tickets away too.
Yeah, it's two passes for Shaky Knees, and it's for all 3 days of the festival, which is pretty cool. That is not a cheap ticket, but it's certainly going to be a great show. I'm looking forward to seeing Jack White from the White Stripes. Jack White's playing on Friday. And you also got Queens of the Stone Age on Saturday. Get the roster, go online to Shaky Knees. We also got tickets, as we mentioned, guys, for a really cool event, Moto America bike racing up at Road Atlanta. Tony Hawk and friends going to be there as well. We'll have a ton of tickets. But the only way you get them is by coming to see us at Twin Peaks in Buckhead on Friday.
That is it. Hey, we'll get to an NFL Blitz coming up. We got Mike Conte to join us as well a little bit later on. Lots of draft conversation, guys, especially over the next 2 weeks as we're getting closer. We saw Chuck Swift today, as a matter of fact, and we were talking to him a little bit, and he was saying, you know, a lot of the guys that he's been training, and these are guys that are going to be first-round picks, some in the second. You know, they're making their rounds, and they're going to interview at various teams because that's what you do this time of year. You know, you've been to the combine. You've done your pro day. All right, now teams that are really focusing in on you, they want to bring you in. And you hear this with the quarterbacks, right? The teams that are interested in quarterbacks are bringing these guys in, Baker Mayfield, Denver, Jets. They're doing their due diligence, Mike, trying to figure out if this is the right guy for them.
And remember, guys, it was on our pre-draft show on 2016 where Chuck Smith's like, hey, Chuck Smith, give us a name, Joe. And he goes, how about Devondre Campbell from Minnesota? We're like, okay, write that down. Whammy! We wind up getting him in the fourth round. Now, if you remember, and Chuck was on earlier today with Rick and John, and he'll be part of our draft coverage, our special show coming up live from the Benz on draft night. But I remember the name he mentioned, it was a few weeks back, Jannard Avery, linebacker out of Memphis. That's a guy that might be climbing up. That might be one of those like little sleepers to look at on maybe day two of the draft.
Yeah. And, you know, there could be, I don't want to even say a sleeper. I'll say a surprise because when is the last time the Falcons drafted? Let's just go back the last couple of years. Even if you didn't think Keanu Neal was the guy that we should have gone with, it made sense. We went defense, right? We needed to improve our defense. Right. That was the big thing. And so,
but we thought linebacker first because, remember, thinking of all those years, guys, no disrespect to Paul Warlow, serviceable NFL player, but not a star. You know, and Joplo Bartu before that, we had these guys we had to plug in as undrafted free agents. We were really – and we had injuries. We just really lean. We thought for sure linebacker would go first. Well, we got the linebacker, but it happened in the 52nd overall pick with Debo.
Yeah, I just think there could be a surprise where you go, who do we get this year? Because the unpredictability of the draft, more importantly, the unpredictability of Dan Quinn. I would love to sit here and tell you we know exactly where Coach Quinn is going. And I say that because Quinn signs off on it, and then obviously Thomas says, all right, great, we'll go get this guy, and they do their research. And we're trying to do our research, Thomas. But but I think also Dan Quinn has the ability to surprise us. The year we draft Jake Matthews, no surprise, right? Offensive line, you're building, you go, we need a left tackle for the next decade. It made total sense.
It was the only question and the only like guesswork would be, are you going with Taylor Lewan out of Michigan or Jake Matthews out of Texas A&M? Now, Bruce Matthews, obviously the pedigree and all that. And Taylor Lewan, some guys thought, you know, hey, he's a bit of a dirtbag, whatever. Well, he isn't. He's got an edge, man. He plays with an edge. He's a two-time Pro Bowler.
He does.
He's probably the better of the two. But, I mean, at the time, it was basically a toss-up, I think, in the minds of most football fans.
Yeah, and you know, I also think you said it best. They went with the pedigree. This guy grew up around NFL players in his family, the lifestyle. Okay, and guess what? He's a guy that you hadn't heard a lot about as far as getting into trouble. I just think that was an easy pick for them. But I'm just saying that wasn't a surprise, you know. And even the year we go Vic Beasley, was that a surprise? No, we needed to improve our defense. Mike and I have been screaming, we need to get a pass rush. We got to get a pass rusher in here. So we go Vic Beasley. You know, last year we go Tack McKinley.
Right.
I don't think that was a surprise either because, again, we're trying to get this nucleus of this defense. So now where do you go? Do you feel like the defense that made a jump into the top 10 is good enough with all these pieces coming back, Mike, and you go, We're just going to go get the best player.
Now, remember, guys, if you want to go year by year, 14, you mentioned the Jake Matthews draft, Carl. That's the last year of the Mike Smith.
Right.
And, you know, regime along with Smitty's input to Dimitrov. I think we've all been under the impression that Dan Quinn has more say in that room than Smitty ever had, especially when it comes to the defensive side. But then you go back to, you know, and we mentioned it. We had to go offensive line. That was a need. We had to get a tackle, right?
Right.
Odell Beckham, we needed really wide receivers at that point. Aaron Donald, Ryan Shazier, these are all guys that went after him. But we had to address it. We did it. Same thing the year we go with Vic Beasley. You could argue that with our other, you could have gone best athlete, Todd Gurley. He went a pick after two picks after we selected. But we needed a defensive end. We went with Vic Beasley. And after the second year, he took a huge galactic leap, and Saxon was the NFL leader.
Yeah, which brings me to this article by our friend Vaughn McClure from ESPN.com that we're going to talk more about in the Falcon Report coming up at 5. But Vaughn wrote a piece today talking about Vic and, you know, what he's trying to do this offseason and what he's trying to get better at. And Vic Beasley says coach told him, specifically Coach Quinn, go watch your tape. Go do some film work. And he says he's been focused on that, but he says he's looking forward to being a difference maker. I retweeted this article already. I put him up. See Dukes. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game. He's Mike Bell, ATL. Quote, I talked to DQ, and he felt the thing that could be beneficial to me is going back and studying my games from last season. This is what he told Vaughn McClure, Vic Beasley. Improving on, you know, things that I didn't succeed in. And he says, I'm trying to make that a better part of my game. Some of those things that I wasn't really good at last year. And he says, I feel like, you know, I left a lot of plays out there where I could have changed the outcome. So here's the thing for me, and I don't blame Vic. This was an unfortunate situation where we had injuries and they were trying to move him around and play him in different spots.
He didn't use the hamstrings as an excuse, by the way.
He did not.
He says, look, that you know, it didn't take me out of my game for guys who were asking about that last season.
But he's going to be back in his original position, Mike. I mean, that's right. To me, that's a big deal. Do what you do best and affect the football game. That's what I want. So hopefully
I put that on Quinn, don't you, a little bit?
I do.
I mean, you're taking. I mean, he had success here. Now, again, more out of necessity, you moved him around. But I mean, getting back into a rhythm where we can make things happen. We rotate a bunch of guys. I know that fans always want to see. Why isn't it just Tack and Vic coming off the edge? Well, you still put Ricks Reed out there in some rundown situations. There's some other, you know, guys going to rotate in. But I mean, I do think between Grady, Vic, and Tack, you got a hell of a combination there. You just got to go find that other defensive tackle.
Well, and that's what I'm hoping that they'll do in the draft. By the way, on Tack McKinley. He says, Tack is amazing. Talking about his teammate, he says, I'm excited to see what the future holds for him. I just like his energy. To me, he doesn't take plays off. Every time you see him, he's trying to get there. And if he's not there, he's close. That's what you need is that effort. So if you want to go check out that article talking about Vic Beasley and more about it coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, you can go follow us on Twitter. Let's get to an NFL Blitz.
Hey. Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz. On Dukes and Bell.
Well, Mike, we always say, oh, he'll get another chance. Oh, he's too talented. He'll get another chance. Is 49ers linebacker Reuben Foster going to get another chance?
He's really on thin ice. If you remember the comments of John Lynch after the last situation, saying that, the guy's going to have to look in the mirror and figure out what he wants to do. Remember their comment at the end of the San Francisco Chronicles? You want to be an NFL player? Because it's a hell of a job. Well, allegations of felony domestic violence by the Santa Clara DA on Thursday. Charge stems from an incident back in February where he's accused of dragging his living girlfriend, punching her, apparently damaging her eardrum. Either way, it's bad optics, and the NFL does not tolerate this as well. They shouldn't. So I don't know how long his career in the 49ers is going to last.
Yeah. Could be facing more than 11 years in prison if convicted.
I mean, regardless, he's not playing football. I mean, right. Roger Goodell is going to have you know how that's going to play out. So yeah. Before he even has his day in court.
Meanwhile, Browns, they signed Jarvis Landry. I like Jarvis Landry a lot. I think this guy's a player. Player! And they give him a lot of money. 5 years, $75 million extension through 2023. Remember, he was with Miami, and they shipped him off.
You know who's happy to hear that?
Who's that?
Odell Beckham.
That's true.
His value just went up. You know, I mean, if that guy's worth that, and obviously Julio and other wide receivers, the elite wide receivers set the market. But, yeah, $15 million in essence for Jarvis Landry. We'll see how much of that guaranteed once we get the finer points on it. But now get that delivery system. It's Tyrod Taylor for the short term, but is it going to be Sam Darnold throwing to Jarvis Landry? They put some weapons together, man. If they can pick up Saquon Barkley with that fourth pick, if he's there, not too shabby.
Not at all.
I mean, I know they've already picked up free agent running backs, but long term, talking about Barkley.
Kenny Vaccaro was a guy that was with the Saints. Remember him?
Yeah.
Safety?
He's dirty.
He's visiting the Dolphins today. We'll see if he ends up getting the job there. Meanwhile, NFL Network's Daniel Jeremiah reports that people familiar with the Browns are thinking that they expect the Browns to take Josh Allen. Now, this is the big toss-up, and we're going to talk plenty about this leading up to the draft and obviously the night of the draft. What makes you go with Allen over Sam Darnold? Because Darnold is the other guy that they're saying should and probably will be the number one pick. What makes you go one guy over the other?
Because this guy played in Wyoming. And last time I checked, Wyoming's up in the mountains with the snow and stuff. And you play in Cleveland, you're going to be in some crappy weather. I don't know. That's the only reason I could think of to take Josh Allen over any of these guys. I would not take Josh Allen. And I know the guys, he can throw the ball 100 yards. I can't even throw it a mile. You know, when the game is live and the other guys have shoulder pads on, you got to hit the guy in the hands or put it near him.
I saw Allen one time throw it and hit the blimp one time.
Everybody's seen that same video loop of him throwing like that 82-yard pass at Lucas Oil Stadium at the Combine. Awesome. Okay, great. Now, other guys would say, well, Matt Ryan wasn't a 60% completion guy coming out of BC. Nor was Matthew Stafford at Georgia over the years he was here, if you average it all out. So some guys will say some of that can be corrected and fixed in the NFL. But I don't buy Josh. Do you buy Josh Allen?
No.
No. I mean, big galoot, says all the right things, you know, a pro-style offense. But how else do you measure him other than when he played against the elite Power 5 conference?
Well, that's the only way I can measure him. Now, in the Senior Bowl, for what it's worth, he had a couple of nice passes, you know, and you go, okay, is this a glimpse or is this just an aberration? I don't know. You know, Isaiah Wynn, the kid out of Georgia, turned it out at the Senior Bowl, mm-hmm. and his stock went, you know, super sky high. But to me, you go watch a tape on Isaiah Wynn and look at the beast he's blocking in the SEC, you go, all right, this guy's pretty good. Go look at his record while he was at Georgia and what the offensive line was able to do. To me, that's the only way you can judge these guys.
This was why when you and I were talking about before he signed with Minnesota, and again, he wanted to go play in the playoffs, you know, and we talked so much about, you know, who's the guy that's going to get the big contract, Kirk Cousins. I thought if you were the Browns, take all the mystery out of it. Kirk Cousins, if he stays healthy, is going to play for 4 or 5 years minimum. Take all the mystery and the guesswork out of it. You've built up a decent team. If people say you have a decent team, you went 0-16. Well, you got
it's hard. That's easy to do, Mike.
But you could go and you could throw Bradley Chubb opposite Myles Garrett. You could pick up Saquon Barkley, and you have Kirk Cousins. You added Jarvis Landry. Let's go play some football. But now you're going to have to break in another quarterback, so here comes another year of mediocrity. You're going to have him watch Tyrod Taylor?
Probably.
I mean, if you're paying Tyrod Taylor decent money, he's going to start.
Probably.
I just don't trust Tyrod Taylor over 16 games.
Well, here it is. They're doing the shell game. They're searching. There's our quarterback. That's not him. That's our quarterback.
You don't think they trade out of that one? There's no rumors about the Browns trying to trade out of the first pick.
Not right now. But you know what? I think the two teams, I've said this, Denver and the Giants. Now, the Giants, there's no reason for them. They're number two. They're in a great position. I think they move back. Right. But I think Denver could potentially move up if they feel very confident about a particular quarterback. And here's the thing. You trust John Elway?
Well, Paxton Lynch.
Okay.
The Osweiler situation. Right. It was, you know, obviously they let Osweiler get the heck out of Dodge.
They let him
go.
That was
the one they brought him back later on pennies on the dollar. I don't know, man. I don't know. Simeon was decent for a minute, but ever since Peyton stepped away, they just haven't had the answer there. And let me ask you this one, speaking of Elway. Where do you think Baker Mayfield goes? Is he top 10?
Yes.
Is he the middle of the pack?
No, I am predicting there are going to be
Nostradamus?
Four quarterbacks taken in the top 15 picks. I truly believe that. I think that, and here's what happens too, right? If you wanted one of these guys, then you start clamoring like, oh, they took him. All right, we got to get the next best guy. I mean, we want this kid. So, you know, yeah. I don't know if teams, I'm not going to call it a reach, because they are all these teams that need quarterbacks do need them. But are they going to get the guy that they ultimately want, or are they going to take what's left?
Well, with all the conversation, at least on our show, we've had about, you know, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen. We talked about Lamar Jackson, projected to be late in the first round. A guy on the other side of the Bedlam rivalry. Maybe Mason Rudolph is going to go a lot quicker than some people expected, because he also has a cannon for an arm, and you could argue played in a system. I'm a man. I'm 50. He's 40. How old is Gundy? But anyway, you
46
trust
46 now.
Would you
he?
Trust
something like that?
Would you trust Mason Rudolph?
I like Mason Rudolph a lot. Watched his games, Big 12. I actually think he's probably now. See, here's the deal. If you talk to NFL scouts like I do, they'll tell you Rudolph's good, but he's in that second tier of guys.
Okay, so he's not a top 15 guy.
No, but he's a value guy because they think he can develop into a legitimate starter.
Okay,
so you pick him later. You don't have to pay him as much, not as much guaranteed money, but he's a guy that a lot of people think can turn into a legitimate starter in this league. Okay. So these other guys, remember, if I'm picking you 1, 3, 6, you got to impact my football team. I can't, you know, this is like, who's the kid in L.A.? You can't have Goff on the bench.
Well, I mean, remember, and the Goff thing, it's amazing how bad Goff looked the first year, and then he looks like the light has really gone on for him second. He takes him to the playoffs. Now, you had all those weapons. You look, obviously, at Carson Wentz. Remember, that was a great debate, Carson Wentz or Goff. Right now, it looks like you can't lose with either one, as opposed to Ryan Leaf versus Manning back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, both these guys can have, if they can stay healthy and Wentz gets back out there, great careers.
Speaking of quarterbacks, the Patriots, according to Mike Freeman, he says the Patriots are the team most interested in Louisville quarterback Lamar Jackson.
How about them apples?
Again, 2 first-rounders. Now, I don't know about one of those first-round picks, but that, to me, is interesting.
Well, will Tom Brady get upset about that guy being his backup?
I mean, only if he doesn't use TB12.
I mean, he's going to go to Mr. Kraft, the backup quarterback is too good. Got to get rid of him.
Raiders general manager Reggie McKenzie says the extension talks with Khalil Mack have been positive. Remember, Mack is asking for about $65 million guaranteed.
Right on.
So I said, what are you paying Aaron Donald? And then, you know, this gets back to our conversation about Matt and the idea that what's it going to take to keep some of our young defensive stars around.
Right.
I don't know if we have anybody of this impact. What I mean by that is Khalil Mack's been Defensive Player of the Year, led the league in sacks. Is there a guy on our defense that you compare to that skill set or that level? I know Grady's going to get a lot of money, and he should, but $65 million, I don't know if we have that kind of impactful defensive player yet. Now, Keanu Neal has a couple more good seasons, Mike.
Oh, yeah.
He could easily be in that category.
But this gets us all back full circle to the conversation about when Matt Ryan's contract is done, and as much as it might be painful for Arthur Blank to cut that check, I mean, you want to limit that annual cap hit because, as you said, Debo, Keanu Neal, these are all guys that got to get paid, not to mention a super big contract. You talked about Grady Jarrett, speaking of Aaron Donald.
Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell. It's our NFL Blitz segment. And a reminder to join the morning show tomorrow from 6 to 10 at the Racetrack Store in Kennesaw off of Wade Green Road for the Morning Rush live broadcast with John Fricke, Hugh Douglas. You can stop by and see him in the box.
Where are we going to be?
Fricke and Douglas. You'll be off of Wade Green Road.
I'll be pumping some gas. I'm going to wear coveralls, Carl. I might even clean your windshield.
Oh, full service.
Put some premium ethyl in there.
Full service? Really?
Break out your dipstick.
Can you imagine rolling up and he's there full service?
How about the fact that you and I are old enough to remember actually having our mom drive in a car and actually have somebody check the oil at the gas station?
It's crazy, man.
Remember that AT? They actually pull out the dipstick and the rag and
yeah. And then my mom would say, "You mean I got to pull up and put my own gas?" Yes, mom, it's a self service.
Did you what was the state where they finally, Craig, was it Washington State where they finally
Oregon.
They had it was mandatory. You didn't have any self service gas stations, and they finally put them on the books where you can
Oregon and Jersey were the last two, and they switched up Oregon.
And they had these videos of like closed circuit cameras of people just doing the most craziest things, leaving the thing in the car as they pull away, having no idea where the gas goes. I mean, men and women, by the way.
All right, we got to have a conversation. You say he's not getting a chance. We say he has gotten opportunities. But he's getting in his own way. Today we find out more. We'll explain next on Dukes and Bell. We are Dukes and Bell. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we'll have our report about the Dogs, man. The latest on the Dogs as we go on the sidelines. Getting ready for G-Day, Saturday, April 21st. Also coming up next hour, we're going to get a chance to talk to Charlie Cassidy. Now, Charlie was supposed to join us yesterday. Some things came up. He's jumping on the show today at about 4:20, so NFL Network analyst will talk to us about the draft. We'll ask about the Falcons and a variety of other things, Mike, when it comes to the upcoming NFL draft.
I'm curious of all the quarterbacks. We just spent a whole segment talking about dissecting the quarterbacks out there. Who's the guy he thinks is the most likely to be can't miss? I think it's kind of interesting when you go back and you look at it, and we've talked a lot about it. It really is. After all the research, think about all the millions of dollars and time, effort spent by all these NFL teams, and you think about it, it's more than half of these guys will be busters coming out of the first round.
No doubt about it. Charlie Cassidy at 4:20. All right, if you missed this today, and maybe you have, a report came out earlier today from Adam Schefter saying that after arranging for Colin Kaepernick to work out for the Seattle Seahawks this week, Seattle postponed the trip when the quarterback declined to stop kneeling during the national anthem next season. As we're finding out more about this, Ian Rappaport is reporting that Kaepernick, according to sources, From the team's perspective, they just wanted to hear what the plan was going forward.
Right.
We like your talent. We think you're capable of being a great backup here. We want to bring you in, but we need to know what your plan is moving forward. So apparently this thing has been postponed, and I don't know if it will, you know, if he'll get another shot, Mike, but I want to start here. We have been under the assumption that Colin Kaepernick has been blackballed, that he has not had any opportunities whatsoever to try to get back into the league. And I guess my question for you is, if you really want to get back into the league, because you don't own it, you're not an owner.
Right.
You want to play in the NFL. There's only one. Are you willing to conform to what a team's desire is if they want to give you a chance? And I don't think it's much to ask, Mike, if we owned an NFL team to say, hey, we really think this guy can help us, but we need to know what this is moving forward, because we saw the ramifications of how it affected business last year. Now, I say all of that to say, being who I am, seeing what I've seen in my life, I totally agree with the whole premise of what Colin Kaepernick has tried to stand up for and protest, right? Remember the original argument, police brutality, unequal protection, all those things we've talked about. That's a separate deal. Let's talk football and all the people who have said he's not getting a shot. Mike, he had a shot.
But then when he was asked specifically about, remember, he was on record saying, remember before last offseason, he said he would no longer kneel during the anthem?
Yes.
And then for some reason in this conversation with Seattle, it came up that he was going to go back to kneeling if he was going to be on a sideline in an NFL stadium in a uniform. You know, you and I, you just laid it out. I mean, we went round and round with folks, listeners, and some people will never get their heads around why somebody would kneel or not stand for the anthem. And we tried to explain it. I mean, we might not agree with it. You might not even, unless you walked a mile in someone else's shoes, understand it. And you have a right to do it, but everyone else has a right to respond to it. And in this case, and I talked about this with a listener on Twitter the other day. Do you make a political statement in your office? Do you have political slogans? Or do you have political paraphernalia in your cubicle at work? Is that allowed? To me, it's just another application of that. And I get it. I understand why he's doing what he's doing, but I don't understand why people think that other teams should. You think, Carl, it's a problem that teams just won't come out and say why they're not hiring this kid? Because all you got to say is, we don't want the headache. I mean, and right. I think some teams, it's kind of come out through the media. Is that the beef, though? I mean, that there's no transparency why these owners and why they go through this rigmarole of testifying in this collusion case. Nobody wants to deal with the public relations headache.
Here's what's interesting to me, and again, I want to be clear on this. According to Ian Rappaport, again, he says the team asked for a plan moving forward on how to handle everything, and there was no clear-cut, firm plan. So they postponed it because this is what they're going to be asked, not only in the front office, but everybody in that locker room. They say that it was not because he said he declined to stop kneeling. It was simply, we need to know your plan moving forward. Right. You don't have a plan. We don't have a plan. We're not going to move forward. Now, this is John Schneider, the general manager. This is Pete Carroll. This is the same organization, guys, that allowed Michael Bennett to do and say whatever the hell he wanted to say.
And if ever you think there'd be a landing place for a guy like Kaepernick, it would be Seattle.
Seattle. That's right. What I'm getting to. So if you wanted to say, oh, no, there's more to this. No, they've had guys who have been outspoken in their locker room.
On social issues.
Absolutely. Yeah. If anywhere you're going to go in the NFL right now, it's Seattle. So that's not the deal. The deal is Cap has to allow a plan moving forward for these teams to go, we feel comfortable with this plan, how we're going to deal with this, and let's move on. That's not in place right now.
I mean, I don't know. Does a general manager or a coach talk to Cap and say, by the way, is your girlfriend going to be tweeting anti-team sentiment on her social media? Rallying people against the organization the way she did when the Ravens job was coming up and taking shots at Steve Biscotti and Ray Lewis. That's part of it. You know what I mean? I mean, there's a lot more to it than simply just a cap. I mean, he got into the situation. I think his heart was in the right place. I don't think he ever anticipated going to this level.
No, neither did I.
You know?
But, I don't either.
And the thing is, and as Carl laid it out earlier, you know, it was an issue about what was perceived from the players as a form of social injustice. You might not agree with it, but it got hijacked to anti-patriotism. By the president, by other people.
That's right.
Because you don't support the troops. It has nothing to do with the troops.
Nothing.
You know, but that's where the message got taken, and the owners obviously felt the flak because people who don't understand the nuances of why these guys are protesting, I am not watching the NFL. So that's why nobody wants to touch this guy.
Yeah. And guys, this is the latest on this story. I just think it's important because we all get caught up in the idea of once we hear, oh, he's being blackballed, he's getting a shot. He's getting a chance to maybe make his way back into the league. If that was you, would you be willing to say, okay, listen, I'm going to continue to do the things that I feel like help my community, that are socially injustice and support social injustice and do all the things that I've been doing, but I want to play football. And if that means whatever it means, then I'm willing to do it. Obviously, maybe he's not there yet, or the plan that, as they said, is not in place. Because, but let's put the facts out there.
The one argument for certain, and this is you cannot debate this. When you look at all the tomato cans that are lined up as backup quarterbacks,
he can
play.
NFL.
Yeah, on teams that have two or carrying three quarterbacks, not everybody carries three quarterbacks. But you can look, and I mean, here's a guy with over 70 touchdowns, a guy that went to the Super Bowl. I mean, you know, they basically told Alex Smith, not so fast, pal. It's his job now. Now again. After Harbaugh went back to college, it went south for him, and I don't know if the right guy can unlock all the potential that Kaepernick showed in San Francisco, but he is better than a number of the backups that are out there. That's not too bad. He's better than RG3. RG3 can't handle Kaepernick's jockstrap. Let's get real.
No. I think if you ask most NFL folks, they tell you that too. But most NFL folks would also tell you, if there's no plan in place to handle these situations, I don't need the headache.
Right.
I don't want the headache.
Now, the other thing is, and I've mentioned this every time we have this conversation, I just don't understand, of all the things that the NFL did in those meetings down in Orlando, why didn't somebody just put their hand up and go, you know, guys, for like almost 90 years, we played the anthem, then the teams came out. Can we just go back to that? And if the players, and here's the thing, if you want to be Michael Bennett, you know, if you want to be whatever you're, you know, whoever you want to be, and you want to make a statement, you have a microphone after the game. You can tell any reporter anything you want. I mean, no, it's not the same level of spotlight as a guy on the sideline on a knee. But in the NFL could nip this in the bud, regardless of how you feel one way or the other. You take the whole protest out of the equation. Why aren't they doing that? I mean, the only reason the NFL started bringing the guys out for the anthem, they started getting paid by people like the U.S. Army and the National Guard and all these other guys that, in some way or form, shape or the other, were getting compensated for having patriotic displays before games,
yeah.
Which no one seems to remember.
It's interesting, guys. You can text us, 404-741-0929. There are no games, but this is still in the news, and this is still going on. And it's interesting because I think a lot of football fans feel the way Mike just laid it out. He can play. Dude still has game.
Right.
Okay, so what's the deal? One other thing I do want to mention here, Joe Corey, friend of the show, former agent, he says, assuming Colin Kaepernick and the Seahawks get on the same page, he says, I'm curious about the financial demands. Let's just move this down the road. Let's just say they figure out a plan.
Right.
And he goes, and all of a sudden now he's backing up Russell Wilson. He says, there won't be big money backing up Russell Wilson. Tavarius Jackson made $1.5 million in 2015. So his point is, Cap's really got to be willing to go. Here's a guy who's making $13, $14 million as the quarterback of the 49ers at one point. He's got to be really willing to go, you know what, I just want to be back in this thing and have a shot. And we'll see where it goes. This is not going to be about the big money that he once made a few years ago.
Unless, you know, and like I said, unless Russell Wilson got injured, he's wearing a baseball cap, you know, on the sideline. That's it. You know, he's a backup guy. But we shall see. It still gets people fired up. I hope you were listening to what we were saying, because immediately people start firing off texts and tweets.
Sure.
But one thing for certain, the guy, whatever he told the Seattle Seahawks, it was not what they were looking here. And by the way, Seattle, how long are they going to do this dance? Because they talked about him last year. And remember, Pete Carroll made all that grandiose grandstand. Well, we talked to Carroll. Well, why don't you bring him in for a tryout?
That's what we said. Yeah. We said if Pete Carroll, because
Pete Carroll's like, your money where
your mouth is. He could still play. Okay, well, go ahead and sign him then.
Right.
That was my whole thing. I don't want to hear from executives and coaches who say the right thing, but yet are not willing to do the right thing. So, yeah, we'll see where it goes. But that's the latest, and that's a story today. And I think it's getting a lot of traction simply because here's the two sides of this. One is the scheduled workout got canceled because he said he wouldn't stop kneeling. Then the report comes out that that's not why it got canceled. It got canceled because the team asked for a plan moving forward on how to handle everything, and there was no plan. Okay, which one is it?
But here you go again. What is this at the end of the day? It's drama.
It's drama.
And teams don't want to deal with it. Teams want to minimize all this stuff. That's why when you hear guys, the most innocuous comment or thing that's broken down 7 weeks to Sunday at the combine, because teams don't want to deal with players that are dealing with this kind of stuff.
Yes.
You know, and it's a shame a guy can't look at Josh Rosen. Josh Rosen's got all sorts of opinions on all sorts of issues, and that's scaring away teams.
Well, and I'll say this. If Josh Rosen gets into the league, Mike, and then he's leading some march somewhere, okay?
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying it's wrong because that's what this country is about. But I would tell you that from an NFL standpoint, there's going to be an owner going, what's my quarterback doing out there leading this march?
Right.
You know, that whether it's right or wrong or whether you're on the side of things or not, I just think that the owners only care about one thing, money.
Can you make a political statement in your office, in your workplace right now, whether you're in the warehouse, the factory, your office? Can you do that? Would you do that? No, you wouldn't.
You don't like my shirt today?
I'm joking.
It's Dukes and Bell, man. 404-741-0929. That's a Solomon Diamond, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. I don't have a political shirt on. I was just
he's just wearing
fun.
A Brian Jordan golf shirt.
Yeah.
It does say Free South Africa on it, right?
It does not.
It says no justice, no tease.
Yes, no tease. Hey, coming up, Mike Conte, in case you missed it, we'll talk dogs at 4, Charlie Casserly at 4:20.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conte.
Have I got good news for you.
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
All right, more about the dogs coming up. The latest from Athens as Kirby Smart prepares the squad for the spring game. We'll get into that, and we'll also talk to Charlie Casserly. Lots of good response from our listeners as always, man, and we appreciate all you folks jumping in on that Kaepernick conversation because it is interesting. And if you're just joining us, Seattle had a planned workout. They postponed it. Now there's controversy as to it was basically because he said he would not stop kneeling, and now, you know, some people are out of the Seahawks organization are saying, no, we just want to plan. More about it coming up. Right now it's time for Mike Conte, in case you missed it.
You know what's kind of crazy about all that, not diving into the,
sure,
you know, social ramifications. Imagine if the Seahawks do sign Kaepernick. You'd have Kaepernick on the Seahawks and Richard Sherman on the 49ers.
Right?
Yeah,
that's
true.
Crazy.
It is.
It's like when Donovan McNabb went to the Redskins. Like, wow, that's
right.
Very unusual.
Those guys played together, what, 2 NFC championships?
Yeah.
They played against each other.
Yeah,
right.
And like kind of hated rivals,
right,
too. It would be interesting. Anyhow, I mentioned in the sports flash, or as one of our late night hosts refers to it, the sports blast, about Brandon McCarthy and what happened to him yesterday. And it's a good thing that he's okay. But when it happened to him yesterday, him dislocating his shoulder, it looked a little funky.
McCarthy, and he got the corner of the bag and holds on tight. Is McCarthy all right? No, he's grabbing his left elbow or the upper part of his left arm. And he is calling for George Poulos, the Atlanta trainer, to come join him as he stopped in the outfield grass.
And that was obviously Chip Carey. And George Poulos, the trainer, went out. And I guess popped his shoulder back in.
Right on.
On the field.
Ooh, yeah, man. Oh, come
on. Gangster, right?
Ooh.
No. I think that's cool.
Hockey, you know, players do it all the time.
That's
Conte,
right.
You've seen it.
You take a puck to the eye, you lose an eye, you come back on the next shift.
You saw Tony Finau at the Masters, par 3, popped his ankle right back in place.
Oh!
Well, you know.
Did you see the pictures, by the way, on Monday?
Yeah.
We didn't get a chance to talk about it, but there was a photo on, he posted on his Instagram of how swollen and discolored the ankle was after playing 72 holes on it.
And he played on it, right? They just wrapped it?
And made money. Yeah, top 10.
Now, it's a good thing you aren't a Masters broadcaster, Mike, because such language would get you banned from Augusta. What you really needed to say was what Jim Nance said, that he just manipulated his ankle.
And there was some slight discolorization,
yes,
that nothing that would upset the patrons.
Ahead to flowering dogwood. So anyhow, the Brandon McCarthy, it looked a little ugly at the time. Thank God he's okay. He's not going to miss a start or anything like that. So we can have some fun with it. And in fact, his wife had a little bit of fun with it. She tweeted, whoa, so much happened. Dislocated your shoulder, made the out, popped it back in, then just walked around normal, but you still can't do the dishes.
Wow.
That's great.
She's a really good follow, by the way. Sometimes we like to follow players' wives.
Right.
Like Melissa Bryant's a good one. Sarah Ryan's a good one. She hasn't tweeted much lately for obvious reasons. But Amanda McCarthy, at Mrs. McCarthy 32, and there's an underscore in there, mm-hmm, very good follow.
Okay.
I'll just leave it at that.
I'll check it out.
They've gotten into some humorous spats over the years.
Okay.
Some of it, well, you'll just
I'm on it.
Find out for yourself. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. All right, last night, Cleveland Cavaliers playing their regular season finale. It is the first home game the Cavaliers played since the marital indiscretions of Tristan Thompson were revealed to the world.
Oh!
And if you don't know this story, Tristan Thompson, who is with I shouldn't say marital indiscretions. I guess he's not married to Khloe Kardashian, but he got her pregnant, and she is like 11 months pregnant. She's ready to pop. In fact, she went into contractions when these allegations surfaced. TMZ got a video of him in a club, mm-hmm, with a couple girls.
Did you say in the club?
They were in the club.
Boy, I wish I could wear sweats into a nightclub, Carl. I guess I'd have to be a power forward in the NBA.
NBA players.
But you know, if they're Givenchy sweats and you spend $800 on them, then
it
would be okay.
I guess you're right.
Yeah. But the girls are getting handsy. And then some text messages were revealed. Very, mm-hmm, very graphic, wild thoughts of Tristan Thompson and what he wanted to do to one of his mistresses. So,
mm-hmm,
Khloe's devastated, so devastated that it put her into early contractions. Well, you know, guys, the Kardashian family's got a fan base. You know, that reality show, they've got fans everywhere.
People care.
Right. And last night.
Not the sharpest knives in the drawer, but they do care.
People care.
Well, now, I'm just. Let's just stick to the facts here.
Yes, sir.
The Cavs are playing at home last night. First time Tristan Thompson has played since all this came out. Mm-hmm. They subbed him into the game, and when they subbed him in, they did not announce his name on the PA system because they did not want people to boo him. I'm not making this up.
Yeah.
So then. Right.
No
yeah,
name.
And like some guy coming out of the game, Amon Shumpert. But they don't tell you who's coming in.
Right.
Okay. So then he got fouled.
Mystery man wearing number 13.
Right. He got fouled. He had to take foul shots. So at this point now, there's no avoiding it.
Right.
He's taking the foul shots, and he gets booed by his own fans kind of loudly. And there are people, we love you, Chloe signs and all of that.
Wow. Like we heart Chloe.
Right. No. That is literally a sign that was in the stands.
Right at it.
Yep. Yeah. We heart Chloe. So Tristan Thompson, they tried to sneak him into the game. He had to face the wrath of the Kardashian fans.
Come on, Tyronn Lue. Come on, man. I love it. Tristan, we're going to use you tonight, but we won't announce it, all right?
Right.
Yeah, just go out there and play.
Yeah, just give us 10 and 5 and keep it moving. So like I said, Chloe went into contractions at this, you know, really awful news. And, you know, according to TMZ, she's very surprised by all this, didn't see any of it coming. So I don't know if she had the baby today or if she is still in labor. Uh-huh. But
did you see Mike Conti? It's Mike Conti, in case you missed it, talking about the Tristan Thompson and Khloe Kardashian thing here. Did you see what allegedly he told her about the pictures of the young lady going back to his hotel room at 3 a.m.?
I did not see that.
She's an old friend of a friend, and we just wanted to talk about some things.
Oh, at 3 in the morning.
3 a.m.
In a room.
Does talking include grabbing Captain Wanky?
You know what? When I saw that, I started crying. I mean, can you imagine, like, okay, it's one thing you've got these pictures. Now you're trying to explain. They have pictures of this fool going into his hotel room with this, whoever she is, woman. And he's literally
a friend of a friend. A friend of a friend.
And that's what he said. And we needed to talk about some things.
Now, I'm trying to unravel what exactly he was thinking here. Who takes a stranger or someone he knows, but someone not his wife or a significant other?
Yeah, or the woman that's carrying his baby.
Right. Who takes a woman like that to a hotel room in the presence of a photographer? In the presence of a photographer?
I have no idea. Here's the other thing.
Oh, my God.
So he's in the club. You've not seen these pictures?
In the club.
He's in the club?
Yeah.
He's got the two ladies sitting next to him.
Taking turns making out with him?
Yeah. He kisses one. He kisses the other one. You know what he told her? Allegedly, I made a bet with my friends on the squad that I'd kiss her.
Nice.
I'm not making this up.
It's a good way to play it.
60% of the time, that works 100% of the time,
what?
Right?
Hide in plain sight. My dad always said that's a good way to go.
Goodness.
I made a bet, Mike.
Well, Chloe reportedly is in labor. I don't know if she's had the baby. I'll have to go in and get an update. She did have the baby. Breaking news.
Okay.
Khloe Kardashian did have the baby.
Okay.
Tristan Thompson.
He put her in the labor.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, well, Tristan
Thompson. Oh, they're going to play that for all it's worth on that show. The moms will all be crying, bananas.
Yes. Yes, because, you know, when it comes to privacy and the solemnness of a birth of a child, the Kardashians are right on top of that. But if you are wondering, Khloe did allow Tristan into the delivery room. She thinks, according to TMZ, it's very important that the father is there. It's
an
important bonding thing.
And then he started making out with the anesthesiologist.
Oh, would you stop it?
Apparently, the Kardashians all – I swear I'm not making this up. The Kardashians flew en masse from L.A. to Cleveland to be there to support Khloe. But they did have the baby. It's a girl, Arthur tells me in my ear, so congratulations.
Congrats, Khloe.
Khloe and Tristan. And next time Tristan comes into a game – especially if it's on the road. Who are they playing in the first round? Indiana?
Yeah.
I mean, the Kardashians have a huge following in Indianapolis. That is going to be
Look,
trouble.
You mess with the Kardashians. You marry into this nonsense. You marry into this 24/7 reality show. I mean, what do you think you were signing up for, Sparky? You
know,
maybe this was his ticket out. Maybe this is he's just looking to move on.
Well, it's a heck of a way to tap out.
I hear you.
I agree, Conti.
I saw the video of him in a club. I respect game respects game, Carl.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you're in a club, and again, Cameras are everywhere.
Just why can't we, when we go to Vegas, wear like velour sweats into a nightclub? I would really find that comfortable. Kicking back on the couch, get a bottle of champagne, relax.
You're not getting in with that look, unless you're an NBA player. Hey, Mike Conti, thanks so much. Hey, coming up, guys, we'll talk about the Dogs. Charlie Cassidy set to join us. Lots of draft conversation today as we start our countdown, literally 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. More about what the Falcons may do as well on Dukes and Bell.
Take it to medical.
No! Pop it, Tommy.
Tommy, pop it! Do it! Do it!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.